Number two. You want to get your Bible out. We're going to be turning a couple pages tonight, going to a couple different scriptures. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Had all intentions on preaching through Psalms 23 before the missions conference, but I got challenged this week about a certain topic, and looking forward to expressing some challenges to you as we consider our missions conference that's coming up. And the title of tonight's message is Why We Should Be Different. Why We Should Be Different. And some people look at this and say the phrase different to make a difference. And I was reading an article this past week and got challenged by a couple of thoughts, and the Lord started speaking to my heart about developing this message and kind of looking at this thought about why we're supposed to be different. And we're going to look at some different things in the scriptures here that gives thoughts, the reason that the Bible says what we're supposed to be different as believers. The Bible says, be holy because for I am holy. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible tells us, love not the world. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together. Over and over, it tells us in Scripture that a believer and a Christian should be different, should be separate. But why? What's the purpose of that? I've come to the realization it's easier to be different than to make a difference. It's easier to be different and even sometimes pride ourselves in being different than truly make a difference. And the reason why God asks us to be different is because he desires us to make a difference. And once again, I think it's important to understand, I am not throwing out that standards are not good, that we are supposed to live a holy life and we're supposed to be set apart. But why did he do that? Did he do that so we could come in here and we could talk about it? Did he do that so we could sit and talk about everybody else out there in the world and how we're different than they are? Or did he do that so we could shine as a light in this world? Did he do that so we could hold forth the word of God? Did he do that so that way at the day of visitation, that they will see and remember the difference in how you were different? And let's look here, and I think you'll get what's going on here, and it's a challenge to reach out to those that are around us. And yes, and I know that, and I'm thankful for the fact that we try to live a set-apart life. I think the Bible talks about that. What some people consider a set-apart life is different when other people set apart. And sometimes people put certain things and they wear certain things as badges and they say, this makes me a good Christian, or this makes you a bad Christian, or this and that. And I get all that. And different people, maybe because they were raised or different ways they look at the Bible or different things. And we all believe that we should be different. We're not supposed to be just like the world. A Christian is supposed to be different than the world. And the Bible tells us that in our actions and our what we do, and even sometimes in our appearance. I mean, obviously, a person that's unsaved can look right, but a person who is saved, they should dress right and they should do things that are right. But why does he ask us to be different? What's the point of it if we're not making a difference? So let's look what it says here. And 1 Peter chapter number 2, we'll go ahead and start in verse number 9. And the Bible says here, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And now look at the next phrase, the reason why we are these things, the purpose behind it. The reason why we're different is to make a difference, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So there's been a change. You were in darkness, you were in bondage, you were in sin, and he's called you out of that into his marvelous light, and you, through your life and through your testimony and through your actions, should show forth the praises of him who hath called you, which is God. So the way we live our lives should glorify God. That's why he's called us. That's the reason why we are a chosen generation of royal priesthood. And it says that ye should. There's a purpose here. I set you apart. I made you separate and different on purpose because I want you, who has been called out of darkness into marvelous light, to show the rest of the world that you are different. Let's keep on going. It says, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Then he uses a couple words here. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. And so he puts it, it says that we're different because we're strangers. I'm not saying that as strangers we have to be strange. I've met some strange people out there before, and I've met some people inside even our own circles, inside our own movements, and I'm not judging them because that's their walk with God, and as they let God work and talk, and as they, great, go for it. But strangers to this world, that this is not our home, this is not our goal, this is not our purpose for here. And he says that we are strangers, and then it says, and pilgrims, and there's a purpose here. It says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. And then he says, having your conversation, talking about your way of life, honest among the Gentiles. So there is a purpose here for all of these things. Abstaining from fleshly lusts, remember you're a stranger, remember you're a pilgrim, remember you have obtained mercy, remember you're a peculiar people, you're a holy nation, a royal priesthood, you're all these things, and you have a purpose over here. It's your way of life is supposed to be honest among the Gentiles. So that word among the Gentiles means you're supposed to live among them. You're not supposed to go and live completely away from them. You're supposed to have a purpose and live among them. And it keeps on going. It says, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, the life that you're living, what they behold, what your unsaved family sees, what your unsaved co-workers see, what your unsaved neighbors see, those that they may behold, look at this, what are they supposed to behold? Good works. I tell you, there's a lot of things that unsaved people that see that are not good works. And that's not what God's intended. Your peculiar people and the holy nation, they're supposed to show forth his praises, and they're supposed to show forth the praises of God, and they're supposed to show that you've come from darkness, you've learned something, you've come into this marvelous light. Now show forth his praises to those that don't, and be honest among the Gentiles. And it keeps on going. It says, glorify God in the day of visitation. You say, what is that day of visitation? You're talking about when you go out visiting? Yes and no. What that's referring to is when God through the Holy Spirit does a work in a person's life, even if the person has mocked the church, even if the person has laughed at God's people before, that when God allows circumstances to come in their lives, that they remember and they glorify God for the fact that what you were and who you were around them. They call you when they're in need. As a child of God, we have a duty to live right and honor God. When we do, people around us behold our good works that can be brought through Christ. And when the Holy Spirit begins to work in that day of visitation, when that person loses a loved one, or when that person faces cancer, or when that person is brought low, what is that they brought? What are they brought to memory of? That there was a difference that was made in your life, and that you are different, and you're trying to make a difference in their lives. And they go to you, and they seek out the differences in your life. So what the idea of the message tonight is, and it's hopefully taken with good response, is yes, we are supposed to be different, but there's a reason why. It's not for us to applaud each other. It's not for us to say, hey, look at me. But instead, we are to be different so we can make a difference. Next verse, go ahead and go to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Same type of thinking here, same type of message that's been given to them. Philippians chapter number 2. Great chapter of the Bible. One of my favorite chapters of the Bible. It is so full and so rich. Let this mind be in you was also in Christ Jesus, and all those steps down that he took and how God exalted him up. Just wonderful stuff. But we're going to look in verse number 14 where it comes to the conclusion that's coming there. Now we'll start in verse number 13. It's such a great verse. For it is God which worketh in you. So God does the work in you. God's the one that makes the difference in you. God's the one that makes a change. He does a work in you, both not only to give you the will, but also to do of his good pleasure. So there's a point here. He puts into you the will, but he also is the one that can accomplish it. I don't know about you, but that helps me, because my flesh is weak. My spirit is willing. He gives me that spirit to do the things that God wants me to do. We're talking about making a difference. We're talking about our evangelism. We're talking about reaching out to people and talking about it's more than just being different. It's being different so he can make a difference. I can't do that on my own. But he gives me that desire. That desire you have sometimes to reach out to somebody, that desire you have to make a difference in someone's life, that is God working in your heart. But then God not only gives you that desire, he gives you the ability to do that when you surrender to him. He gives you that ability to be that witness. He gives you that ability to be the right husband and to be the right wife. He gives you that ability to forgive. He gives you that ability to do all those things when we surrender to him and we learn to surrender our lives over to him. He makes us what he wants us to be. Let's see what it says here. He says, in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And then he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And that's hard to do. A lot of us like to murmur. Sometimes I even do my best and catch myself murmuring. And that's not what God wants us to do. But then he says in verse number 15, the reason for this. The reason why he gives you the will and also gives you the ability. He tells you, you're not going to accomplish this through murmurings and disputings. That's not going to get the job done. But he says in verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. So once again, you're in the middle of it. And once again, we come to church on Sunday, and that's a good thing. We believers are all there, and we talk to each other, we encourage each other, and boy, I need that. I don't know if you need it, I need it. And it's nice to see people that want to be different because God's called them to be different, but he's saying that we just don't do it here on Sunday. We are different to make a difference in the midst of a crooked, what was the word there? I think it's perverse. The crooked and perverse nation. It right in the middle. And we don't have to go looking very far, do we, to find that crooked and perverse nation, do we? We don't have to. We just go right out of the street and turn right, and you got crooked and perverse generations. And unfortunately, there's some crooked and perverseness inside the church house sometimes. And we got to be careful with that. But it says right in the middle, in the midst of it, and look what it says, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. To me, that says we're supposed to be different. It says that we're going to be so different that we're going to not blend in. We're actually going to shine to the spot that, what's completely different? You know, darkness, you put a light on. It's complete contrast. And so, once again, he's calling you to do something. If you read these words, blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke, to me that makes a difference. And then you go to the point at the end of the verse that says, shine as lights in the world, this crooked and perverse nation. That's completely different. Let's look at another one. And don't worry, this is the last one for right now. Matthew chapter number 5, verses 13 through 16. Matthew chapter number 5, verses 13 through 16. He has just gone through what we call the Beatitudes. He talked about the people who are blessed. We know some of those, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Some great verses in there. And everything he's there and talking about the difference. Excuse me. It won't go away. Somebody really encouraged me today. He says, I've had my cough for 2 months. I said, I don't want to talk to you. I had somebody else tell me, I've had my cough for 6 weeks and it went away. So that's better. And I had somebody else tell me it only took me 3 weeks to get rid of mine. So I'm holding to that 3 week one. So I only got about one more week left of it, hopefully. So, but what is it saying here? It's talking over and over here about acting different than the rest of the world. We could sit here and read through all this. Look at verse number 11. Blessed are ye when man shall revile you and persecute you and and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You're not going to hear that anywhere else but in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You're not going to be told that, I mean, because you're supposed to be different. But what's the purpose? It says in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Then it says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to, once again, if we have a light and if we're different, blameless and harmless, chosen generation, peculiar people, a holy nation, showing forth the praises, all these things, it's not supposed to be just in here. The intention is to holding forth the word of God. In Philippians, I forgot verse number 16. I just remember that. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, after it says that you shine as lights in the world, and how do you shine as lights in the world? It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He says, you're going to shine as lights in the world. And it's Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life. We hold forth the word of God. Now, we obviously don't go to people and do this all the time. They're not going to respond to that sometimes, most of the time. But we live the word of life. We live the Bible, and we hold it forth as we shine as a light. It's supposed to be, it's not always, it's supposed to be easy in here to shine as a light. But if it's not dark in here, is the light going to really show? You look at all these lights up here. You know, they're nice, but if one of them went out, you might notice it a little bit, but there's light everywhere. You turn off all the lights but one, that's going to show up a lot more. So in our church house, when we're all supposed to be shining as lights, and we're all supposed to be holding off the word of God, and we're all supposed to be blameless, and we're all supposed to be without rebuke, and we're all supposed to be that peculiar people, and we're all supposed to be that holy nation, we're all supposed to be all those different things, have all been caught out of the marvelous light, and we all have this, it doesn't show up much in here. That's not God's intention. That's not why he's asking us to be different. So we can come and show that to other people. Now, let me clarify that. We need to pass that on to the next generation. Don't get me wrong. It is something that, you know, we show our difference and our light shines inside and shows it to other people and encourages other. I agree. I am very encouraged when someone's doing God's work and when someone shows in a dark spot or with a dark individual or with, you know, when there's darkness even inside of a church house and the idea of there's things that are going on, someone can shine as a light. And I've seen that happen before. But that's not the main intention. Yes, we're supposed to teach, but the reason why we're different is so we can make a difference. Now, you say, what does this have to do with anything? I've learned in my own heart, in my own life, it's easier for me to be different than to make a difference in the world. I'm just speaking true. It's easier for me to set up something for myself and my own comfort self and say, I have a list, I'm not going to do these things. I'm going to choose to do these things. I'm going to be different than the world, and I'm going to abstain from those fleshly lusts, which we're supposed to do, all those things, and I'm going to try to shine as a light inside of here. My light might show up, might be a little brighter than somebody else's, maybe, maybe not. But have I accomplished the purpose that God wanted me to accomplish with the light? He says, and you go back here and you look what it says in verse number 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, if we put a flashlight on in here, is it going to make much difference? No. If we add some more lights, Is it going to make, it might look a little different, but not much. They're saying that God has given us this light to be different. That way, we can go out and make a difference in the world. Here's a couple things I'd like to share with you, and some of these things might be a little harder to hear, but some of the things that God worked in my heart about a little bit this week, and a couple of things are going to read some of the things I wrote. I have concluded that it's far easier, this was a quote from a pastor, I've concluded that it's far easier for God's people to be different than it is for us to make a difference. And they're speaking about churches that pride themselves on being different, which we're called to be, but not the best at making a difference out in the world. It says, in fact, it is often far more comfortable and convenient, even satisfying, to retreat into our minds, our homes, and our churches and celebrate our being different than the world. Sometimes even smugly thinking ourselves to be a little bit better. But sadly, that is not what the Lord commanded us to do. When we are to live, we are not to live in isolation from the world, but purposefully relation to the world in order to evangelize. When we thunder from our pulpits and discuss in our small groups the same topics with the same people who think just like we do, we can be pretty sure we make very little difference in a very spiritually needy world. The Lord called us to be a salt and a light. If we're going to make a difference, we must accept the challenge to evangelize. Some people call it soul winning, some people call it visitation, some people call it witnessing, some people call it outreach. And the truth of the matter is, we need to be making a difference in the world. We don't need to be clever about semantics, but we need to be busy trying to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And I know that many times we don't consider ourselves reformed in our theology. Too many have practically became reformed by the absence of real evangelism in the lives and ministries of so many churches. You think about it. Many times we don't think the community is open to the gospel, and we don't give it out. But the truth is, if we gave out the gospel more regularly, some people would get saved. If we were more if you don't tell people, guess what? No one's going to get saved. But the more opportunities we have, and sometimes people blame it on the people, so dark, so wicked. But that's where we shine even brighter. The truth is, from our hearts of caring, if we would share the truth with people, someone would get saved. The greatest obstacle in most people's lives is not the fact that the people do not need it. It's not the fact that God cannot save. The obstacle to winning people to Christ is unbelief and also pride and self-interest. We spend money to send missionaries, and we should. And we would look at those missionaries and we would tell those missionaries, you're not doing your job if you do not reach out to the lost people. But we ourselves have remained silent many times. And he didn't make us different to wear it as a badge. He made us different. He called us to be different so we could make a difference. So there's three different little things here. And we'll be done. First thing is to love people. Love people. You know, we have arguments. We talk about give attention to different things. We talk about different ways of reaching people. But in all reality, if we would learn to just be a light and a salt in our community and live a life, and I'm not talking about just lifestyle evangelism. There are times when we need to confront. There are times when we need to talk to people. But whatever we decide to do, we need to learn how to love people. Yes, they may be different, and there are many people that are different. They may be different in their lifestyle, and perhaps their appearance. And if we're looking for a normal person to witness to, then we could justify, well, that guy's not going to want to hear it. He has this, or he's wearing that. There's no way he would be interested in that person. Is Muslim, you know, you can't win them, and that person looks a little bit funny, you know. No. If the missionaries did that, what will we say? You're not doing your responsibility. And even though that we must learn to, even though sometimes people might be critical of our lifestyles, even though sometimes people might be mocking you, it's still someone who we should learn how to love, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world, that they are a mission field. As much as we really don't like it, this is our generation. As Esther was told, for such a time as this, I think I should have been born like back in the, at least 40 or 50 years ago, because I would have felt a lot more comfortable living back then. Maybe in the 1800s, but back in the 1800s, it was a lot of hard work back then. I don't know if I could have made it. I'm sure I could have, I would have fit right in. But, you know, at least 40 years ago when there was, people cared more. And then you're thinking, well, there's the hippies. And, you know, I don't know. I just think sometimes I was put in the wrong generation. And sometimes when I look at people today, and you probably feel the same way. He says, where did all these people come from? God didn't make a mistake. The world's getting darker and darker. People are not going to look any more normal. It's going to go the other way. People are going to mark their bodies up even more. They're going to put bigger things in their ears, and they're going to, you know, they're going to do things that make us feel uncomfortable, because we want to be different. But when they look different than us, we care more about our holiness, which is important, but also we must remember we're trying to influence lives. The reason why he asks us to be holy is so we can influence other people's life. And I go back to my own life, and I was a kid that rode a bus, and I was a little bit of a brat. I'm thankful for the people who were kind to me. You know, I can tell a lot about my story. I had, you know, dad did not go to church as a child. I was a child. My mom was a really godly lady, but she because of brother and other things like that, she didn't always get the chance to go. And there was a lot of people who took time and interest and invested their lives in me, and they loved me. And there are times when I can be unlovable. You ask my wife, she always loves me, but there's times that I'm pretty hard to love. And especially when I'm making jokes. She used to love my jokes. She don't love them anymore. But it's loving them. I'm thankful for the people that looked beyond my faults, like the Lord did, like the song says. They looked beyond my faults and they saw my need. They took time with me. Because that's why he made us different. He didn't make us different to rub it in somebody else's face. He made us different so we could be different. So first, we need to love people. Secondly, we need to engage people. There's different methods. There's different ways. I know knocking on somebody's door can be uneasy sometimes, because you never know who's behind that door. And as we, in our culture, keeps on getting farther and farther away from really liking strangers at their door, you know. But we have to engage them somehow, don't we? You know, that's why we give out gospel tracts. You know, that's one way you can engage somebody, giving a gospel tract. So I don't really like that. What do you like to do then? Because there is a world that has a need. God's made you different. Then how do you do the engaging? Something's got to happen somewhere. And there's different ways. There's different people that do different things. But there, not only do we love people, we must learn to engage people. And there's different ways of reaching people. You go to Jude, and it talks about some having compassion, making difference, and then talking about the other one. But some pull it out of the fire. You know, that's why we had to be spirit-led. But we have to let God lead us to engage people. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones and surrender to God and create conversations with people, lost people. Now, it's easy to have a conversation in here thinking, you know, this is what we shouldn't watch, and this is what we should. And once again, those things are important. It helps edify us. It helps builds us up. It helps us learn and grow in our Christian walk about holiness and the things of God. Those things are all important, and I'm not throwing those things away. But there's a reason why he made us different. And we're wasting it in here if we don't do it out there. We're wasting it. It's we're shining as a light here, and it's really, really bright. But where it's really dark at, many times we're putting under a bushel. People need the Lord. It's fine to be innovative. I've read lots of different things about people showing kindness and having the opportunity to share the gospel. I've read people having giveaways and different things, all types of things. We need to love them. We need to engage them. And then we need to, whatever word you want to use, share the gospel with them. The purpose of embracing and engaging a lost person is to win them to Christ. That's the relationship I have. That's why God has made me different, so I can shine as a light, so I can hold forth the word of God. So at that day of visitation, they will see my good works and they will glorify God because I was different in front of them, and they saw the difference they made, and they caused them to rejoice in my God because they saw me. And when it says here in verse number, it talks about how they're going to see our good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. It says in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I struggle when people glorify people. And once again, I think it's nice to recognize people. And I do my best to tell people thank you for when they serve and when God has worked in my heart through their lives. But lifting people up is not the goal. Having the biggest difference is not the goal. It's when we shine as a light in the world, in our neighborhoods, and in our work. We need to be community-minded. We need to be neighborly people. We need to try to be helpful so we can have the opportunity to share the gospel. And you say, Pastor, that you're right. We should. Then how are we going to do it? What's the way we're going to do it? How are we going to do it? Now, like I said, sometimes people are uneasy with knocking on somebody's door. Okay, then how are you going to do it? Because it needs to be done. It needs to be reached. Some people feel uneasy giving somebody a gospel tract or talking to someone or sitting next to someone. And once again, relationships are good. If you get the opportunity to talk to somebody and you win them through your neighbors and through your friends and you shine as a light there. And sometimes it takes time. And sometimes it's God's already been working and dealing with their heart. And it's the people we live with sometimes. And once again, there's nothing wrong with being different. God called us to be different. God has demonstrated that in his word. We should not look like the world and act like the world and smell like the world. We should be that royal priesthood. We should be that strangers and pilgrims. But we should be that way so we can make a difference out here. God intended it for us to be this way. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So out here, it can show that I've been saved from darkness into his marvelous life, and now I'm showing forth my praises of God through my demonstrations to the rest of the world. How do you do that? You love people. You figure out a way to engage them. Whatever way works for you, as long as the gospel is being presented, that's great. I think meeting people in the community, talking with people, handing out gospel tracts, knowing the people we know and the relationships, God, if we're faithful with those relationships, God's going to give us more relationships and more opportunities. But on purpose, engaging people and sharing the gospel. God saves us, sanctifies us, so that we will be glaringly different from the world. Our sanctification is good for us, but the ultimate purpose of our sanctification is the glory of God in order to make a difference. God intends us to be different so we can make a difference. And I love our church. I love the fact that we have what some people would consider high standards. I just think they're biblical standards in some areas. And I think that we try to preach and teach things that are not worldly and try to preach and teach you shouldn't look at this and you should look at this. We do those things on purpose because he's called us to be different. But he's called us to be different to make a difference. Now, if you're not being different, guess what? You're not going to make a difference. If you are being different and only being different in here and never interacting out there, you're not making a difference either. We all know that, so love people. Engage them. Find a way that God allows you to engage people. I've heard lots of different things and lots of different ways, that interesting ways people engage others to be able to share with them the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. So tonight, are you different? And if you are different, are you different to the point that you're making a difference? Because if not, you're losing the reason why you're supposed to be different. Because we're different, so we can make a difference. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation and prayer.